God, we know that some among us are suffering. Some among us are longing for a change of circumstance. Some of us are looking forward to healing. So Lord, gather us together, we pray, as we're called to give thanks. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So Jeremiah wrote a letter to the leaders in exile. It was the worst situation that the nation Israel had ever faced. Exile to Babylon, cut off from their temple, from their land, from their crops, from their foods and language, from their God. It was God's discipline upon them, and it was bad news. But even in the midst of that, Jeremiah says to the people, settle in, this is going to take a while. God's purposes were being worked out even through the worst news possible. They were to buy houses, they were to plant fields, they were to have children. They were to invest in a future, even though they were in exile. They were to encourage their children to have children. So this long view that God is taking with his people, Israel, often when we're suffering, that long view is foreign to us. We can hardly cope with the minute to minute, let alone the next generation. Very clearly, life is not always easy. The psalmist says the same thing, that they know the difficulty. You, O Lord, have proved us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. And if you know anything about that process, it is a heating of the silver to a molten state and then heating it further until the impurities rise to the surface and they're drawn off. The heat of trial, the heat of difficulty. No one calls it good. No one calls it comfortable. And yet, God is at work. That is the place of faith. You brought us into the snare. The psalmist even says, you led us there. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs. It was a bad time. It was difficult. You let enemies ride over our heads. God allowed difficult things, bad things to happen to people who were called God's own possession. We went through fire and water. We've been through a lot. And then it ends with, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. This long view acknowledges God's purposes. And sometimes we can't. We just can't. We're so crushed by the circumstance. But still we're called to be aware, take stock. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, is in stocks. He is in chains for the gospel. He's writing from prison. No one would call that a good thing. And yet, he uses this opportunity to further the gospel, to call people to faithfulness in Christ. As I was preparing this Sunday for today, I thought of a story, and I'd like to offer that story. Come at the scriptures a little slant maybe today to try to get us stimulated in our thinking. Just give a bit of a context and then I'll just go right into this story. After high school graduation, I lived in Alaska for a year and through the winter lived with a family who were distant relations through my mother. And we lived out really in the middle of nowhere. And this is where the story is born. I overheard Jerry ask, Kurt, is the tank full? As Kurt entered the front room of the Black Rapids Lodge, as he kicked off his winter boots, I witnessed this 14-year-old mumble as 14-year-olds can, something resembling yes, and then proceeded on his way. Jerry was referring to the tank holding the diesel for the generator, the only source of electricity for the lodge, including cafe, bar, and gas pump. It was Kurt's responsibility to make sure that the level was checked regularly so that the changeover to the second tank could be made at the right time. Did I mention that this was the dead of winter and we were in central Alaska, 40 miles from the nearest town? The margin between life and death could be a tank of diesel fuel. Is the tank full? It's also intended as a wordplay to get us thinking about Thanksgiving on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday. Tankfulness is the unseen reality governing our lives. It's an attitude, it's a perspective, it's a discipline. Some of us are strong in that, some of us are weaker in that. But I do believe that it provides a framework for our entire life. Unless the tank is near empty, many of us are not motivated to ask God for help or even to acknowledge that there might be a problem. And the converse, I believe, is also true for many, that when the tank is full, there is very little acknowledgement of God. God really doesn't enter the equation. It's because I worked so hard and saved all that I have what I have. That seems to be the rationale. Winter nights are long and dark in central Alaska, far away from habitation, where the only light sources are the moon, the stars, and the northern lights, the aurora borealis, and of course the yard light, which was always on over the gas pump, front door, and back door. It was the middle of one of these nights when I woke up. And I woke up because of the quiet. I was disoriented. It was eerie waking up in dead silence. And I was thinking, what's different? What's going on? I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Understandable, since this was my first Alaskan winter at Black Rapids Lodge. But the rest of the family knew, and they were busy. I heard them out in the hallway. Then it dawned on me. The constant hum of the generator was silent. Is the tank full? Flashed before me, and I wondered if Kurt was going to get it. Was he the cause of all this? Feeble lights raked the cold darkness inside, and we stumbled around finding boots, snowsuits, toques, and mitts. I could hear Jerry berating Kurt, mumbling and grumbling, and older brother Gary chiming in, seeing his opportunity. Rats and frats and this steam rising from this once warm group trying to solve a problem. We tumbled into the blue light outside with moonlight playing off the snow. The generator house had cooled off quickly in the minus 35 degree night. When you get that cold, it really doesn't matter whether it's Celsius or Fahrenheit. Both the generator and fuel lines would need to be heated. At that temperature, diesel turns to something like a jelly. It does not flow. Soon the roar of the diesel heater was filling the room, and the stiff cold gave way to rigid cold and then to a more relaxed cold. The goal was to change over the diesel fuel tanks and then restart the generator. If only Kurt had done what he was told, none of us would have had to be out there in the middle of the night, in the middle of this bitter cold. Was the tank full? One of us had to get the battery out of the truck in order to jumpstart the 6 kW kilowatt witty generator. We all hoped and prayed that it would turn over. After the third try and all of us choking on starter fluid, the clackety clack of that cold engine jumped into action. After waiting for a while to see if it was truly working properly and fuel flowing, we made our way back into the house with that car battery in tow, turned on the main of the electrical panel, and relit the furnace. Maybe there would be some warmth left in our beds. Not a chance. Even so, I was thankful that disaster was averted, that the lodge would be warm in the morning, and that I was safe and secure once again in my bed. I thought, well, great story, but what does it have to do with the readings? The tie-in that I see is this awareness of our lives, honest awareness before God and before others. It was interesting in the gospel reading that only one of the 10 lepers came and thanked Jesus. And as you read the story, perhaps a second or third time, the thing that struck me was after they were told to go to the priests, and the idea there was priests in those days were, in applying the law, they had to check for mildew, they had to check for leprosy, they had to check and make sure. They were sort of like doctor's assistants. They were kind of like home inspectors, as the God's word outlined who was clean to worship at the temple or in synagogue. Those who were unclean needed to be discerned very carefully by the priest according to Leviticus and the purity laws. Go show yourself to the priest. And they were healed and made clean as they went. In obedience as they went, they were literally made clean. Again, leprosy would have caused them to be unclean, and as they came by others, they were supposed to call out, unclean, unclean. It was like a personal exile, parallel to the community exile that Jeremiah spoke of in the first reading. And the gospel says they came and stood at a distance and called out to Jesus. They called out saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What a sight. 10 men with leprosy, perhaps of varying stages of advance as their bodies were deteriorating as they lived. Unclean. Cut off. Alone. Except for their own fellowship. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They acknowledge Jesus as one who could heal and make them clean. Jesus as one who was merciful. They went in obedience, and as they went, were told they were made clean. The thing that strikes me, and I believe the tie-in with Kurt being asked if this tank was full, was the next sentence. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, it appears that there's only one out of 10 that's aware that they were healed. Perhaps his leprosy was on the back of his hand. And it was evident that what was leprous is now clean. I'm not sure, but that awareness was available to 1/10 of this population. And I wonder if that's not true today. That we're simply unaware. Unaware of our situation, unaware of God's activity in our midst. When he came to awareness, we might say mindfulness today, when he was mindful of his situation, of his state, he did 4 things. He stopped and turned back. He praised God with a loud voice. He found Jesus and prostrated himself at Jesus' feet. And he thanked him. Pretty simple and straightforward. But it all hinged over his being aware. He was aware of his need, and now he was aware of God's intervention. And he was an outsider, a Samaritan. So this Thanksgiving, I hope that you and I can both hear the question, is the tank full? What is our state before God? May God help us to be aware of the state of our lives and to be thankful, whether the half full, half empty, that God is alive and active. God takes the long view. And especially to those of us who are under a load of burden, guilt, or grief, anticipation, hoping that things would change. Even you, in your situation, to give thanks. How is your thankfulness?